All right, listeners, are you ready for an adventure?
I know I am.
Today, we're trading our hiking boots for e-bikes.
Ooh, I like where this is going.
And hitting the Santa Fe Trail.
Now that's what I call a deep dive.
Exactly. It's going to be fascinating to see how this historic route,
once bustling with pioneers and traders,
can be experienced in a whole new way thanks to e-bikes.
It's a perfect blend of history, adventure, and, well, a little bit of modern technology.
Right. Speaking of which, we've got a stack of historical accounts.
Oh, I love a good historical account.
Trail guides, and even some resources from the National Park Service to help us map out our e-bike journey.
Sounds like we're well equipped for this exploration.
I think so. So let's start by setting the stage. The Santa Fe Trail, as many of you know,
it's iconic.
Wasn't just one single path, right?
That's right. Over the years, it evolved.
Kind of like those choose-your-own-adventure books.
Exactly, with different branches and cutoffs popping up as travelers sought better conditions or quicker routes.
So like today, some folks might prefer the scenic route, while others just want to get to their destination ASAP.
Precisely. But for this deep dive, let's focus on the main route through Kansas. We can trace its path today by following US 56 Highway.
Okay, so road trip. But before we hit the Kansas border, I'm curious about those early starting points back in Missouri.
The very beginning of the journey. Well, the first starting point was Franklin, Missouri, back in the 1820s.
Imagine setting off from there with just a wagon and some supplies.
No GPS, no weather apps, no convenience stores along the way. Just pure grit and determination.
It's hard to fathom the courage those early travelers had.
It really is. They relied on their wits, their knowledge of the land, and the stories shared by those who had traveled the trail before.
It's like a real-life game of telephone, but with potentially life-or-death consequences.
Exactly. And as the trail evolved, other key spots in Missouri popped up, like Independence.
I've heard that was a bustling hub of activity for those heading west.
Absolutely. Outfitters, travelers, traders, all converging in this one spot.
I bet the stories those folks could tell. It must have been fascinating to see all those wagon trains preparing to head out into the unknown.
And speaking of those wagon trains, once they crossed into Kansas, they would have passed through towns that still exist today.
You mean towns like Leawood, Olathe, Gardner? Places we might even drive through today without realizing their connection to the Santa Fe Trail.
Precisely. Those towns hold traces of the trail's history, just waiting to be discovered.
So as we're cruising along US 56 on our e-bikes, we can actually visit these towns and imagine those wagon trains rolling through centuries ago.
Absolutely. And within those towns are hidden gems waiting to be uncovered.
Like what? Give us a teaser.
Okay, for instance, in Lenexa, you'll find Flat Rock Creek Park.
A park. I love a good park.
This one was a significant campground for travelers on the trail.
Oh, wow. I can almost picture it now. Weary travelers setting up camp. The smell of campfires, the sound of horses whinnying.
It's a great spot to take a break on your e-bike journey and imagine what life was like for those early travelers.
Absolutely. What else is there to see as we head further west?
Well, just a short ride from Flat Rock Creek is Bradshaw Park.
Okay, another park. What's special about this one?
Here you'll find a Daughters of the American Revolution marker.
A marker.
Commemorating the Santa Fe Trail. It's like a tangible link to the past.
That's pretty cool. So we can actually stand in a spot where history happened.
Exactly. It gives you a real sense of connection to those who traveled the trail so long ago.
It's amazing how these historical markers can transport us back in time.
All right. Ready for our next stop?
Lead the way.
Council Grove.
Council Grove. Okay, I'm intrigued. What's the story there?
This town was a crucial stop on the trail because it was one of the last places where travelers could find hardwood.
Hardwood? Why was hardwood so important?
For wagon repairs, of course.
That makes sense. They needed to keep those wagons rolling.
Exactly. Those sturdy oak trees were a lifesaver for travelers facing miles of rough terrain ahead.
I'm starting to see why Council Grove was such a vital stop.
It was like a frontier auto shop.
Love that. Okay, so after stocking up on spare parts in Council Grove, where does our e-bike adventure take us next?
Well, from there, the trail continues westward, passing through towns like McPherson, Lyons, Great Bend, all with their own stories to tell.
And all those travelers, their eyes fixed on the horizon, following the trail towards Santa Fe.
I wonder what was going through their minds.
Right. Were they excited, scared, determined? Probably a mix of all those emotions.
I'm sure it was an incredible mix of anticipation and trepidation. They were heading into the unknown.
And relying on landmarks and the stars to guide them.
Exactly. And speaking of landmarks, our next e-bike friendly stop is a big one. Fort Larned National Historic Site.
Fort Larned. Now, that's a name that conjured up images of the Wild West.
It's one of the best-preserved forts from that era.
What makes it so special? Fill us in.
Fort Larned isn't just a collection of old buildings. It's a time capsule, offering a glimpse into the lives of the soldiers and traders who were stationed there.
Imagine arriving there on our silent e-bikes, centuries after those soldiers would have seen wagon trains rumble into the fort.
The contrast is pretty amazing, isn't it?
It really is. Okay, so we've got Council Grove and Fort Larned on our must-see list. What other e-bike-worthy stops should we add?
Well, we can't talk about the Santa Fe Trail without mentioning Dodge City.
Dodge City. Now we're talking. Saloons, gunfights, cowboys, the whole nine yards.
Well, Dodge City certainly has its Wild West charm.
But it's more than just a legend, right?
It's one of the few places where you can still see preserved sections of the Santa Fe Trail ruts.
Wait, you mean the actual tracks left by those wagon trains?
Yes. Deep grooves etched into the earth.
Wow, that's incredible. It's like a physical reminder of all those journeys that pass through this place.
It really is. It's a powerful experience to stand there and imagine the scale of this historic route.
I'm starting to think we might need more than one day to cover all of these amazing stops.
You might be right about that.
This is way more exciting than I imagined.
And remember, while some sections of the trail are perfect for e-bikes, others are not.
Right. We don't want our listeners getting lost in the wilderness.
Exactly. It's crucial to do your research and check local trail rules and regulations before heading out.
Safety first. Now, I keep hearing about the Cimarron Cutoff. What's the story there?
The Cimarron Cutoff. That was a shorter but much more treacherous route.
A shortcut.
I am all ears. It branched off from the main trail near Cimarron, Kansas, and cut straight across the Cimarron Desert.
The desert. That sounds intense.
It was a vast expanse of arid land with very few water sources.
So basically, it was like taking a gamble.
Exactly. Some travelers were willing to risk it for the chance to reach Santa Fe sooner.
I can see the appeal, but I think I'd stick to the main route on my e-bike.
Probably a wise choice. But it's fascinating how even back then, travelers had to weigh the risks and rewards of different paths.
Just like we do today. Except our risks might be more like, will my e-bike battery die before I reach the next charging station?
Uh-huh, exactly. But even on the main route, things weren't exactly easy for those early travelers.
Oh, I'm sure they faced their fair share of challenges.
Weather, breakdowns, encounters with wildlife, it was a constant test of resilience.
It really puts things in perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We may have our e-bikes and modern gear, but the spirit of adventure and the challenges of the trail haven't changed that much.
That's a great point. And speaking of challenges, we've still got a lot more ground to cover on our virtual e-bike tour of the Santa Fe Trail.
Hold on. Before we zoom ahead, maybe we should take a break.
Recharge those metaphorical e-bike batteries.
And pick up the trail in part two.
Sounds like a plan. Welcome back to our e-bike adventure along the Santa Fe Trail.
I'm ready to hit the trail again. Last time, we left off talking about
the Cimarron Cutoff.
Right, and how those early travelers had some tough choices to make.
And as we continue westward on our virtual e-bike tour, we're going to encounter even more towns with deep connections to the trail.
Ooh, like what?
Well, there's Cimarron, Lekin, Syracuse, Sublette.
Those names sound so evocative of the Wild West.
They really do. And each of these places holds a piece of the Santa Fe Trail story.
I love that. It's like we're piecing together a giant historical puzzle.
Exactly. And speaking of puzzles, near the town of Cimarron, we come to a fascinating fork in the road.
Fork in the road. Does this involve the Cimarron Cutoff?
You bet it does. This is where the trail actually splits.
Oh, so travelers had to make a decision here.
They did. They could either continue along the established mountain route, which followed the Arkansas River.
Okay, so that sounds like the safer option.
It was considered more reliable, especially for those hauling heavy wagons.
But the other option was the Cimarron Cutoff, right?
Precisely. That was the shortcut through the Cimarron Desert.
The desert. You're really making this sound tempting.
Uh-huh. Well, it was definitely the riskier choice.
But some folks were willing to take that gamble.
They were lured by the promise of a faster journey, even if it meant facing harsher conditions.
I can see how that would be appealing, especially if you were on a tight schedule.
And remember, back then, they didn't have weather apps or GPS.
So they really were heading into the unknown.
Absolutely. And those who chose the Cimarron Cutoff had to be prepared for anything.
It makes our modern day concerns seem so insignificant.
You know, like, will I have enough cell service to post my e-bike selfies?
Uh-huh, exactly. But even on the main route, those early travelers faced challenges.
Oh, for sure. The Santa Fe Trail was a constant reminder that nature was in charge.
So no matter which path they chose, Those travelers had to be tough and resourceful.
It's inspiring, isn't it?
It really is. It makes you appreciate their resilience and determination.
And as we continue our virtual journey, we're getting closer to the western edge of Kansas.
Okay, so where are we headed next?
Our next stop is Syracuse.
Syracuse. What's the story there?
Well, like many towns along the Santa Fe Trail, Syracuse played a vital role in supporting those westward journeys.
I'm picturing a bustling little town with a general store, maybe a blacksmith.
You're not far off. These towns provided travelers with much-needed supplies and a chance to rest.
It's like those rest stops we have on the interstate today.
Exactly.
Right.
Except a lot more rustic.
I like it. Okay, so after Syracuse, where do we go?
From there, we'll pass through Sublette.
Another town with a Santa Fe Trail connection.
Absolutely. And as we approach the Colorado border...
We're almost leaving Kansas already.
We are. We'll pass through Setanta and then reach Elkhart.
Elkhart. That's our last stop in Kansas.
Yeah, it is. But of course, the Santa Fe Trail continues onward.
Into Colorado and New Mexico.
All the way to Santa Fe.
So it's like we've only just scratched the surface of this incredible journey.
Exactly. And, you know, your personal e-bike adventure could continue westward, too.
Ooh, now you're getting me excited.
But
for now, let's savor the Kansas portion of the trail.
We've covered a lot of ground.
Literally and figuratively.
We've explored the history, the challenges, the triumphs, and the enduring legacy of this incredible route.
And we've seen how e-bikes can provide a whole new way to experience it.
I don't know about you, but I'm already picturing myself cruising along those back roads.
Wind in my hair, sun on my face.
Stopping at those historical hotspots and just soaking it all in.
It's like we're connecting with the past in a really tangible way.
And as you pedal along, imagine those wagon trains rolling alongside.
It's a powerful image, isn't it?
It really is. And it reminds us that the spirit of adventure and the challenges of the trail haven't changed that much.
We may have our fancy e-bikes and GPS devices.
But we're still drawn to those same open spaces and the same desire to explore.
This has been an incredible deep dive so far.
We've gone from imagining ourselves as pioneers to practically planning our own e-bike expeditions.
Now we just need to figure out the logistics.
The practical side of things.
Like where to charge our e-bikes, where to stay.
To pack all those important details.
So in part three, we're going to get down to the nuts and bolts of actually planning this epic e-bike journey.
That's right. We've covered the history and the inspiration. Now it's time to equip our listeners with the know-how to make this adventure a reality.
All right, e-bike enthusiasts, we're back for the final leg of our Santa Fe Trail adventure.
And this time, we're getting practical.
That's right. We've dreamt about riding alongside those wagon trains.
Explored the history.
But now it's time to actually plan this e-bike trip.
So let's start with the most important thing, the e-bike itself.
Okay, so we're not talking about your grandma's beach cruiser here.
Definitely not. You need an e-bike specifically designed for longer distances and diverse terrain.
So what should we be looking for?
Well, first off, make sure you have a Class 1 e-bike.
Class 1. Refresh my memory.
These are pedal assist only.
Meaning?
The motor only helps when you're actually pedaling.
Gotcha. So no throttle, just a little boost when you need it.
Right. This is important because many trails along the Santa Fe Trail have restrictions on motorized vehicles.
So we need to be respectful of the rules and the environment.
Exactly. Plus, it's still a workout. You're getting exercise and enjoying the scenery, but the pedal assist helps you cover more ground and tackle those hills.
Okay, Class 1 e-bike. Check. What else is important?
Durability and comfort.
Makes sense. We don't want our e-bikes falling apart in the middle of Kansas.
Exactly. You'll want a bike that can handle paved paths, gravel roads, maybe even some off-road sections.
So a good quality mountain bike or hybrid e-bike.
That's a great starting point.
Now, what about battery range?
Ah, yes. That's crucial.
I mean, we're talking about some pretty long stretches between towns.
You'll want a battery range of at least 50 miles on a single charge.
50 miles. That's not bad. But we'll still need to recharge along the way, right?
Most likely.
Are there charging stations along the Santa Fe Trail?
You'll be glad to know that many towns along the trail have public charging stations these days.
That's a relief. So we won't be stranded with a dead battery.
Not if you plan ahead. You can find charging stations near parks, community centers, libraries.
So we can combine sightseeing with charging breaks.
Exactly. And there are apps and websites to help you locate these charging spots.
Technology to the rescue. Okay. We've got our e-bike. We know where to charge it. Now, what about packing?
Ah, the essential gear. Well, first off, pack for all kinds of weather.
Kansas weather can be pretty unpredictable, right?
Oh, absolutely. Sunny one minute, hailing the next.
So layers are key.
Think moisture-wicking base layers, a warm fleece or jacket, a waterproof outer layer.
And a good hat and sunglasses, of course.
Can't forget sunscreen either.
We'll be spending a lot of time under that Kansas sun.
And don't forget a good navigation system.
GPS or a good old-fashioned paper map.
Both are good options. And pack a first aid kit, a charged power bank for your phone.
Safety first. Okay, we're all packed up, ready to roll. What about accommodations?
Are we sleeping under the stars like those pioneers?
Uh-huh. I'd prefer a real bed, if possible.
Well, there are plenty of hotels, motels, and bed and breakfasts along the trail.
And I'm guessing many of them are e-bike friendly?
Many do offer charging stations and secure bike storage.
That's great news. So we can rest and recharge both ourselves and our e-bikes.
Exactly. And as you plan your itinerary, be sure to include those e-bike friendly stops we talked about.
Like Flat Rock Creek Park, Bradshaw Park, Fort Larned.
Dodge City. It's all about blending the past and present.
This has been such an amazing deep dive. We've covered so much ground.
We have, haven't we?
From imagining ourselves as pioneers to figuring out how to charge our e-bikes.
And it just goes to show that the Santa Fe Trail isn't just a dusty old road.
It's a living, breathing route that continues to inspire and connect us to the past.
And it's waiting to be rediscovered in new and exciting ways.
So to all our listeners out there, what are you waiting for?
Charge up those e-bikes.
Pack your bags.
And hit the Santa Fe Trail.
And as you ride, remember those who came before.
Their spirit of adventure lives on in each of us.
Happy trails, everyone. And until next time, keep exploring.